Well, good morning, and thank you for the wonderful singing, and thank you for inviting me to be the speaker for these last 2 weeks. That's a nice opening, wasn't it? I mean, DK had the chance to bring that one-syllable piece about that phrase in the New Testament. I thought to myself, you know, there was a time when the Lord Jesus spoke to this poor woman, and he didn't say anything that was negative towards her. Actually, he said to her, he said to this neglected woman, he said, if you knew the gift of God and if you knew the gift of God and knew who it was who was speaking to you, you would ask and he would give you this living water. They're all one syllable words, except for maybe water. And the Bible tells us that this woman says, give me the water. And we're going to find out that she doesn't have to see any powerful miracle in John chapter 4. She leaves the water pot. She goes into the town and she says to them all, I found God's promised one. And I want us to go from here with that same inspiration, saying, look, there is nowhere else that I can go except to God and except to his word to be encouraged and to be refreshed in what it has to say. Now, last week we had the chance to look at a psalm, a song that David wrote during the rebellion of Absalom. And this morning, I'd like to take a look at another song that David wrote, except this time it happens as a younger man when he is running for his life. And it's found in Psalm chapter 34. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 34. I want you to know that this is not just an ancient story, but that ultimately a lot of these truths that God allows David to go through, they're very relevant for us today. You look at David's resume, and he's a unifier, and he's a composer, and he's an attacker, and he's a champion, and he's a king. That's true. Those things are all true. But in a little way, this is God's testimony, or David's testimony, that he says, listen, I need you to see another side of me. I want you to see something that's very real. In Psalm chapter 34, we read, right? Before the first verse of I will bless the Lord at all times, sandwiched between that and Psalm chapter 34 are these teeny little words that say a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. So you just sort of step back and you try to unpack that and you say, look, this is a time when David pretended to be a madman before this dude, Abimelech. Now, what do you wonder when you read that? You wonder, well, why was David pretending to be mad? Who is Abimelech? And why did Abimelech reject David? Why did he cast him out? I want you to know that there was a time in David's life that he was so overwhelmed and that life got so bad that he completely and emotionally bottoms out. He's paralyzed by fear. He doesn't see the promises of God. He feels alone, and he's going to make a run for it. He sends his parents to Moab. You're not safe here. He sends his parents to Moab, and he makes a run for it. Let me ask you this. Have you ever made a run for it? Or is that just for children? You know, as a teacher, I had the opportunity to work with the boys and girls, and I know DK appreciates this, and I always wondered, why did this happen? And maybe it happened because of today. Kids love Halloween. It's like the biggest day of the year for them. They love it. Can I be honest with you? Halloween is a nightmare to the teacher. It's an absolute nightmare to the teacher. And with all the festivities that goes on during Halloween, one of the famous things we do in school is we have the mummy race. And the kids pick who it's going to be, and the games begin. And this one special needs girl, she goes running out of my room. She goes running down the hall. She is running out the building. And I am running after her. And I say to the teacher, call the office. Call the office. Why? Call the office. And I catch up with this girl. Listen, what's going on? Mr. S., I'm never the mummy. She says, I'm never the mummy. I didn't quite know what to say. So I said, well, Hannah, I'm not the mummy either. That was not the right thing. Right? Of course you're not the mummy. I'm never going to be the mummy. She makes a run for it. disappointed, upset, angry, frustrated, despair. She makes a run for it. I want you to know that years later, King David is going to, he's going to make a run for it. Years later, he's going to sit and he's going to write Psalm 34. It's a little bit of his testimony. And I want you to just take a look at verse 11 of Psalm 34. It's what King David would say if he was here at Woodside Chapel this morning. He would say, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Now, this is not happening right as the event is going on. It's years later. But he would say, "Listen, would you receive this story? I'm not trying to compare my story, Trump's your story. Your story's nothing to what mine is. Listen to what I went through. None of that." He just says, "If you will listen to this, I want to exalt the Lord together. Because the same Lord who restored and redeemed, the same Lord who rescued me, he's the same Lord who rescues you. And even though your circumstances are going to be a lot different than mine were, I want to come together and magnify the Lord with you. It's not about me. It's about how good God is." Have you been restored from something in your life? Have you been restored from something in your life? You know, you don't appreciate how good your health is until you lose it. You don't appreciate how good your friends are until you lose them. You don't really appreciate the goodness of God until he restores you, rescues you from something. King David, through this prior experience, is going to be able to say, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Okay, so what is it? David, as DK read, was being hunted by King Saul. King Saul is very jealous, and he's got these most wanted posters. And it gets so bad that David says, "I am one step away from death here. No matter where I go, I'm not safe. I can't go home because Saul has soldiers there. I can't go into town. I can't go to visit Samuel. I can't walk my dog. I can't go anywhere. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired. I'm run down. I haven't had a decent night's sleep. I haven't had a decent shower. I haven't really even eaten in a long, long time. I don't want this anymore." And he makes a run for it. That's what he does. He makes a run for it. And where he runs is, he runs to the tabernacle. And the priest's name there, his name is Ahimelech. And he says, and Ahimelech is angry when he sees David. And David lies to Ahimelech. He says, "Look, I am on this secret mission from King Saul." He says, "I'm on this secret mission." First, he says, "Do you have any food here?" And Ahimelech is going to say, "Well, yes and no." And David says, "Look, it can't be yes and no. It's either yes or it's no. Well, yes, I do have food here. It's the showbread. But we're not really supposed to eat the showbread. You're going to bring me that bread. Ahimelech, you're going to bring it to me, and you're going to bring me butter with it." And David takes the showbread, and then he says this. He says, "Do you have a weapon here? Do you have a knife here? Do you have a spear here?" Well, yes and no. Now, what does that mean? Well, we do have this one collector's item. I was sort of saving it until your son graduated from high school. I was going to give it to him as a present. It's the sword of Goliath, and there's not another one like it in all the land. David says, "Bring me that sword, for there's not another one like it in all the land." And he takes the sword of Goliath. Now, I'm making some inferences here, but when David holds on to that sword of Goliath, you wonder to yourself, does he ever reflect and say, "The last time I held this sword, I brought down the champion of the Philistines. I was used by God in a magnificent way." He's not thinking like that. Is there anything in your life that you sort of look at or hold on to that you can sort of reflect on and say, "You know, the last time I looked at this, or the last time I was here, God sort of came through here"? I got this picture of of Dad and Tim and I when we were little kids. It's in my classroom. And when I'm having a lousy day, I look at the picture and I just say, God, you know, you clearly delivered me from growing up in a household with Tim. So I know that as bad as it gets, I can get through this. I want you to know that fear enters David's heart, so he runs. He runs to what he calls the safe place. It's the land of the Philistines. He runs not just to the land of the Philistines, but he runs to the town of Goliath. He runs to Gath. There's probably statues of Goliath and streets named after Goliath and schools that are named after Goliath. David comes walking into Gath. He looks nothing like a Philistine. And how are you going to hide Goliath's sword? He takes Goliath's sword and he says, there is one place that King Saul is not going to follow me. He's not going to follow me to the land of the Philistines. So he runs. Listen, it's easy to run and doubt God's promises. It really is. It's easy to run and doubt God's goodness and doubt God's mercy and doubt God's loving care. It's easy to run. Detour, if you want to call it that. And I see that over and over again in God's word. The Bible tells us that Abraham is promised the great descendants, and the object lesson of in your seed, as he looks into the stars, will all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God changes his name to Abraham, which is the father of many nations. Abraham's the richest man in the world. He goes on a business meeting. Hi, I'm Abraham, the father of many nations, of great nations. How many grandchildren you got? None. Right, detours, right? And Jonah detours, clearly. And David detours here. He runs and he doubts God's promise. He wanders from the loving care. We run, too. We run. It's easy to run and be angry with God. It's easy to run when we don't understand exactly what God is doing in our lives at this particular time. I don't really get this, so I'm going to detour. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us that the apostles, when they were in the boat, there was a great storm. And while the great storm was taking place, it says that Jesus fell asleep. And they woke him up, and the words they used were, "Don't you care that we're going to perish?" Have you said that? They said it. If King David makes this run for it, then why is it like beyond us that we make the run for it? It's easy to run. It's easy to run when you're envious of others. I wish that I could switch lives with somebody else. Envy, it's rooted in disappointment with God. I don't really have what I want, so I'm going to make a run for it. I'm going to make a run for it. So David does. He makes the run for it, and he goes to the land of the Philistines. In his mind, he is in a safer place amongst the Philistines than he is with Israel. Yeah. And there's times in our lives, if we're honest with ourselves, that we're in a safer place if we run. I'm going to run to entertainment. I'm going to run to sexual sins. I'm going to run to gossip. I'm going to run to a spree of shopping. I'm going to run to this getaway, to my next purchase or my next vacation or my next relationship. I'm just going to run. And I'm going to doubt the promises that God has for me in his word. And so the Bible says that David is going to be taken by force by these Philistines. They have him in his hands. I don't know if that means that he's shackled or he spends time in prison. I don't know that. But I do know that he appears before their king, Achish. Now, Abimelech, the word Abimelech means Pharaoh or Caesar or king. Achish was his name. So David now is appearing before Achish. And Achish says three times, he says, "You see, this man is insane. Don't you see this? David's scratching on the walls and he's scratching himself and he allows spittle to run down his beard and his eyes are bugging out in all directions." this is God's anointed son. This is the champion of the Philistines. He's behaving in such a manner. He's far. And King Achish, he says, look, you see this man is insane. How have I a need for another madman? That's kind of funny, isn't it? Do I need another insane person in my kingdom? Don't we have enough of these people already? He behaves like a madman. I have enough madmen here. And so David departs. And the Bible says that David then goes to this cave of Adullam. And when he's at the cave, he is going to write the 56th Psalm. Now, I'm not going to look at that. But if you want to see the song that he writes right away, it's the 56th Psalm. Years later, he writes the 34th Psalm. Let's take a look at it now. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I can say that now as he brings the children, right? That doesn't mean children, but it means people gathered around him. We're going to bless the Lord at all times. Why is that? Why is his praise continually going to be in my mouth? Because it's the Lord who restores, and it's the Lord who redeems, and it's the Lord who walks into the deep water of our needs, and it's the Lord who goes on the rescue mission for all of us. And I am confident that I can say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. David says, my boast is not in my wealth. It's not in my popularity. It's not in my victories. It's not in my talents. My boast is in the Lord. My boast, it's in the Lord. The Apostle Paul is going to piggyback on that in the New Testament. And he says, God forbid that I should boast in anything. In anything, in anything. He sits at the feet of Gamaliel. He's the Pharisee of all the Pharisees. He's the valedictorian of his class. He's the real deal. He goes about his whole life cursing the air blue until he meets the risen Lord. He's changed. And as he grows in his life, he says, I'm not going to boast in anything except for the cross. That's where the boast is. It's in the Lord. And it's in the rescue mission that he did for me. David picks up on this too. My boast, it's in the Lord. Verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Ooh, this is really rich. It is for me. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Do you know, if the Lord hears you, then quite frankly, it doesn't really matter where you've been. Isn't that true? If the Lord hears you, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter how darkened or distorted and how awful it was. If the Lord hears you, then you're good to go, right? If the Lord forgives you, the Bible tells us that if the Son has made you free, then you're free indeed. That's a great truth for all of us this morning. I don't want to live in what happened yesterday. I don't think King David does that. I don't think he harps on that. His account, it's not even mentioned in this Psalm 34, because he wants you to know that your past, your experiences, the times that you run, they're not going to be compared to the times he ran. It's just that let us magnify the Lord together and let us exalt him together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. There's never a time in our lives that in our humility, if we seek the Lord, that he's going to say, look, I don't have time for you. I'm all done with you. That I'm finished with you. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. If we seek the Lord in humility, Lord, I really made a hash of this. I have royally messed this up. David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he says to us this morning, if the Lord heard me in my experience, then the Lord is going to hear you in your experiences and in your detours as well. Verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Ooh, he says, my face is not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I was in a bad place. I pretended that I was a madman, and I was promised that the Messiah of Israel was going to come from my genealogy. And I was really far. But I'm not ashamed, because God is greater than my past, because God's grace is greater than my run. It's greater. Their faces were not ashamed. You know, there's a lot of things in our lives that we are ashamed of, that we are terribly embarrassed of. A lot of things. We can name a lot of those things. I want you to know that we're never going to be ashamed that we trusted the Lord Jesus. We're never going to say, boy, you know, I don't know what I was thinking then. Never going to be ashamed of that. Throughout all of eternity, Lord Jesus, I'm not ashamed, because you clearly were not ashamed to call me brother. You're not ashamed to call me friend. David says, anyone who looks to the Lord will never be ashamed. Verse 6, look at his humility. This poor man cries out, and the Lord hears him. This is the humility of the great king. This poor man has cried out. So I guess the great question would be in our hearts, have we ever been to Gath? Have we bottomed out emotionally? Are there times in our lives that we're totally confused, that we doubt the promises of God, that we find that we're better off taking matters into our own hands? David says, I know all about that. I know all about that. And he says, come, you children, listen to me. I'm going to teach you about the fear of the Lord. Now, I want to just take a look at one verse in Psalm 56. And this is going to be written right after the incident, when he's in that cave. And maybe you go home later and you have the opportunity to read Psalm 56, if you enjoy it, knowing what prompted this song to be written. Psalm 56, to the chief musician set to the silent dove in the distant lands, a mishtem of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. This is what is on his heart. And I just want you to notice, he says in verse 8, he says, you number my wanderings and put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Lord, you number my wanderings and put my tears in your bottle. It's not David's bottle. Every time David cried because of the mistakes that he made, he asked God to put his tears into God's bottle. He asked God to count them, all of them, to write them down in a book. This is very personal. It's very intimate. It means that there's nothing that I can't bring to God. There's nothing that the brokenness of this person can't share with God, that God wouldn't understand, or he couldn't relate, or it's not making the connection. David says, you numbered my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. That's a very, very, very strong connection, especially when you find that you're kind of misunderstood, that nobody really gets it, that nobody really understands it. I want you to know that God understands it. He knows all about it. And not only that, but he is in the business of redeeming your past. That's what he does. He restores you, but he also uses whatever you did in the past for his greater glory. He does that. And so I want you to know that in this passage, that David is going to say to God, look, you put my tears into your bottle. Now let's just go back, if we can, to 1 Samuel, please, chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we're gonna just share one or two more thoughts, and then our meeting will be closed. 1 Samuel 22, David therefore departed from there, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. All right? I mean, he's rejected in Israel. He's rejected in the land of the Philistines. Nobody wants him. Can you imagine this? He departed to this cave. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Verse 2, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Now, I want you to know this morning that the Lord Jesus is not welcomed here on this earth. He was rejected here, and he ascended into heaven. And the Bible tells us that if we go to him, discontented people, people who are in debt, people who are in distress, if we gather to this wonderful king of ours, who is not welcomed here, he's not welcomed here, if we gather in his name and around his table, if we gather to this rejected king of ours, he's going to meet all of our needs, just like David did to these distressed people. When David takes the crown, he doesn't forget these people. He says, you were faithful to me during a time when no one would give me the time of day. And you came out to me, and that meant a lot to me. So it is, dear friends, that when the Lord Jesus comes back and he rules as King of Kings and of Lord of Lords, that he is going to say, you were faithful to me during a very difficult time. You remembered me during a very difficult time. You will reign with me for all of eternity. These are great truths for us. These are great truths for us. So, if you can make connections to this in your week, in your life, then you say, look, I understand a little closer about the grace of God, and I understand that truly there's going to be afflictions in this world. He says it even in the 34th Psalm, and the Apostle Paul says it in Corinthians, and the Apostle Peter says it in Peter. But Lord, I am going to allow those afflictions to draw me closer to you. And this week, I'm not going to make a run for it. I'm not going to detour. I'm going to stay close to you. And I am going to gather around with other believers, and I'm going to say, let's exalt the Lord together. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus has walked into our flood and that he, on this great rescue mission, knows our needs. He knows all about it. He knows all about our sinful habits. He knows all about the way that we think and process. He knows our motives. And our Father, we thank you that in spite of those things, that he restores and he redeems and he brings great peace. I pray this week that our hearts and our minds would be focused on him, and that as we magnify the Lord together, that we would catch a glimpse of his glory and his beauty and realize that there is nothing in this world that can compare with the glory of the Lord Jesus. For we would ask it in his name. Amen.